for your giving. We appreciate it so very much. I've been wanting to get back into David, the message that we started 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then we took a Christmas break and looked at Joseph for a little while, and now we're going to go back to David and true greatness. When Susan was retiring, the group that she was working with and had worked with for quite a while gave her a going away present. It confused me too. I said, "Do they think you're an old goat? Is that what they're saying?" And she said, "No, it's goat." I said, "That's what I said, goat." She said, "No, it's goat." And I said, "Okay, it's goat. Did they think you were an old goat?" And she said, "No, goat stands for the greatest of all times." I said, "Oh, you are an old goat, ain't you?" This morning, I want to touch on David and true greatness, or the greatest of all times, goat. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 through 16. I probably won't read everything, although everything is pertinent. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. And this pleased the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing and with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. And they danced and they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very angry at this refrain. It displeased him greatly. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. I'm going to stop there. You can finish, because the evil spirit comes on Saul in the next verse and it deteriorates from there. How do we measure greatness? Is it by accomplishment? Is it by accumulation? We've got a nice house, a big car, and money in the bank. Are we great? Or we're well known and we've got our name in lights or on the front pages of newspapers. Are we great? We have lots of friends that follow us around and they say good things about us. Are we great? How do we measure this thing called greatness? True greatness. Great greatness. True greatness is not measured by what you achieve in life, but more so how you live your life. Job chapter 1 verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. It was God that declared Job's greatness. But we can see this principle displayed in the life of David. David, at a very young age, had achieved true greatness. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the authorities. Point one that we just touched on the last time we were together is the presentation of David's life. He laid it out there. He presented his life. And I chose three scriptures for this. Chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Verse 14, and David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 30, then the princes of the Philistines went out to war. And so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. The NIV has, for that was out of the New King James. The NIV in verse 30 says he had more success. Wisdom and acting wisely equals success and prosperity. Three times in the King James or the New King James, we're told that David behaved himself wisely. It's a phrase that sometimes we could confuse. It means to walk properly or successfully. It refers to a person who knows how to carry themselves. It speaks of more than just mere manners. It speaks of a person who watches what they say, what they do, and how they act, because they know that they are being watched. It's the idea of walking accurately, carefully, successfully, as if one was navigating a minefield. If you knew that you were out in an active minefield, you'd be very careful where you put your foot. If not, El Bumo. And that's not comfortable. That would hurt. It's the kind of walk that you and I are called upon to display. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And there's three areas where this accurate, careful walk of David was on display for everyone to see. Point A, he behaved himself well in spite of life's promotions. This is a young man who was out watching the sheep. And suddenly the prophet comes to his house, looks at all of his brothers, rejects them all, looks at Jesse and says, "Don't you have one more?" And Jesse said, "Yeah, the youngest, he's out with the sheep, but he's young." Go get him. And Samuel sent for him, and they brought him, and God said to Samuel, "This is the man. Anoint him. This is my man." One minute you're watching sheep, the next minute you're anointed king of the whole country. But it didn't change David's heart. I can almost see him say, that's cool. Now, let me get back to Sam and George and Harriet, my sheep. And he goes back out in the field. And he starts watching the sheep. Then his dad calls him and said, "Take some food, some victuals, some cooking over to your brothers. They're fighting the Philistines." And he gathers up everything and he goes over. He's nothing more than an errand boy that watches sheep. But he gets to where the battle is and he's like me and you. He wants to see everything. And all he sees is about a 10 to 13 foot giant running God down, running Israel down, making fun of everybody. And all of his brothers are on this side, and all the enemy is on that side. And David scratches his head and says, "This isn't a battle. Why don't somebody knock that dude off and let's get about this thing?" And they said, "Oh, you don't understand. He will kill you." David said, "He ain't going to hurt none of me. I don't have to worry about him." And they ran and told Saul and said, "This kid, he wants to fight." So you know the story. He picks up 5 stones and walks out to where Goliath is, slings one of them and bumps him off. And everybody thought, "Hey, this is all right." So they defeat the Philistines. But David did not allow that victory to go to his head. He gave the food to his brothers and he went back to watch the sheep. David knew that he was climbing toward the top, but he was willing to take the climb one step at a time. At any moment he could have said, "Wait a minute, I've been anointed king by Samuel. I am the king. Saul, get off my throne." But never once did he overstep his bounds. He was wise and careful in his steps. Note, there's always a danger when we see some measure of success in our walk with the Lord. There's always a danger when we see some success in our walk with the Lord. When God allows us to see a victory or two, That's when you really need to be aware, because there's something else coming your way, and it's called pride. You'll get puffed up. You'll start thinking you're more than what you are. You'll start taking credit for it. And you need to be very, very careful. It has a way of telling us, you are the best. But then we need to read Proverbs. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. How true that is. David was well aware of that. He understood that. He knew that. He had seen that. That was part of Saul's problem. He had had great success, and it went to his head, and he began to think he was something. He began to think that he was doing it. And David said, I'm not falling in that trap. He behaved himself well in spite of life's problems. So when the promotions came, he behaved himself well. When the problems came, he was behaving himself well. Even when Saul tried to kill him, David still carried himself the right way. David could have become bitter. He could have overcome by a desire for revenge. Some of us want that, and day and night we think about it. And some of us, it so overwhelms our mind. We want to get back at that person that hurt us, that person that downgraded us, that person that dissed us. And revenge is in our heart and in our mind. But instead of revenge, David continued to carry himself well and set a good example for everybody that saw him. Listen to this truth, and you may want to jot it down somewhere. Often, it's the problems of life that throw us off course the fastest. When problems come, we begin to question ourselves and God. Some unexpected calamity blindsides us, and we're down and out before we know it. Just because the going gets a little rough, I give up. I'm going to go back to the world. A sign of true greatness is one whose faith is the ability to continue to walk the right way on the right path, even when things are not going well. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in, Paul says, to be content. I know how to be abased, low. I know how to abound, high. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But greatest I have found that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Chuck Swindoll, and I'll close with this, and we'll go to communion. Chuck Swindoll once said, when was the last time that you thanked God for not showing you the future? I heard that statement, and it puzzled me, because there was a long pause after it. And I became hungry to know what he was talking about. When was the last time you thanked God for not showing you the future? And then he went on to say, I'm convinced that one of the best things that God does for us is to keep us from knowing what's going to happen beyond today. Just think of all the stuff that you didn't have to worry about just because you never knew it was coming your way. Health changes, deaths, jobs evaporating, tests that come your way. Even wayward children that wrench your heart apart, they challenge our faith walk. And he said, aren't you glad that God didn't tell you about all those things 5 or 10 years ago? Aren't you glad that he didn't give you your life ahead of time on credit and you had to look forward to the pain, the aggravation? Instead, you and I are asked to just take one step at a time, one day at a time. That's the way that God dispenses life. He knows what will work together for our good. And he gives us that each day that we can take, that we can move through. And he never piles more on us than we can stand. You and I don't know what will work together for our good. We think we do. But God knows. You and I just sort of ricochet from one moment to another, like a pinball on a pinball machine. We're thrown back and forth from one moment to the next, trying to figure out what life is all about, because we often don't have the time or the wisdom to pull it all together for ourselves. How gracious God was to give David one day at a time. David did not, a few days after Goliath, take the throne. He would not have been ready. The aftermath of the killing of the giant led David into one of the deepest and longest and darkest valleys of his entire life. He went from the top of the hill down into the darkness and the dankness of the valley. But this young man proved himself faithful among the sheep. That was his refuge. He proved himself on the battlefield, and he proved himself in the palace of Saul. While he went from that highest pinnacle of popularity to the lowest depressions of despair, God was good not to tell David what was coming. And David walked every day just depending on God, holding on to God, walking over every obstacle. And using those little pitfalls as stepping stones to the next moment. To be great takes us over the problems, and we handle them. Takes us over the promotions, and we handle them. And like David, we become a man or a woman after God's own heart. That's a great place to be. Would you bow your heads with me, please?